Hello and welcome to our weekly podcast of Who's Here in the Hamptons. I'm Dan Rettina, your host, broadcasting from my home in the Hamptons, where I have lived for over 55 years. I've written a dozen books about this glorious place, and I've seen it grow through the years from small tourist towns, quaint fishing villages, and a summer playground for high society to what it is today, a world-class resort for celebrities, artists, musicians, authors, and billionaires. In my podcast, I will bring you interviews with not only these people, but also prominent local people who have helped shape the Hamptons. Welcome to Dan's Talks. My guests today are Brian Light and Pat Oakley. Both are realtors for Saunders Real Estate and they're partners. How does that work when you're a partner with another person? And is that something a lot of the realtors do, partner up? Or is that something that is unusual?
I think partners and teams have become more popular over the last few years or so. Patty and I have a very dynamic relationship. It's very trusting relationship. You need to be in a relationship in real estate that's very trusting. She's my right-hand person. She's my sounding board. She's my go-to. We communicate constantly, and it's a great team we have.
Yeah, I think, we've seen a lot of, teams form over the years, but many have not stayed together or they've switched, different people into their teams in and out. And I think for us, it's just been, purely dynamic from day one. And it's going on, I think, 10 years now. We both have a great level of experience, too. So that really helps to make us both, just equal as far as, committed to customers and clients.
Why is it better to have a partner than going it alone? What are the advantages?
When you are busy agents, it's nice that your clients are getting you and not an assistant who may not be as well versed in the properties or in, representing either the sellers or even when you're taking buyers out. So, having, that partner is really assuring that, our clients are going to be covered 100% and knowing what they're getting from day one.
We each bring a little bit different to the table too. Our personalities, of course, are different. So our clients and customers all have different personalities as well. So we bring a little bit uniqueness to the table with those different.
How do you see yourselves as different personalities in business?
I think I'm a little more extroverted in a sense. Brian's a little bit more reserved. I think it stems from the Sicilian in me. I always joke about it, but we're both dynamic in our own sense. I think, again, our experience from sales from way back when I graduated college, I was in the pharmaceutical business and learned quite a bit about, sales. And then coming forward to, our real estate career, negotiating, we're both very strong negotiators. So we're not always all different. But I think the mix of personalities is rewarding for us. We're dealing with different personalities every day. So I think that is, a positive thing for our team.
Ryan, how did you get into being a realtor? Is that what you were intended to be when you were growing up? And where are you from originally?
No, it's certainly not what I expected to make of my life career being a real estate broker. I'm originally from Huntington, from Up Island, as they refer to. And I've been in the Hamptons for about 35 years. I always summered. My sister's a long, long time resident here. So I would come for the summers and stay with her. So I was originally in landscaping at a successful landscaping business in Huntington. And when I transitioned and made my full time in Southampton, I got into real estate.
How did it turn out that you came out here instead of stayed in Huntington?
My wife is born and raised in Southampton. And if you ask her, she probably, when we got together, she probably had a different idea of where she wanted to go. And I had a different idea of where I wanted to be. And we wound up in Southampton. So, yeah.
Same question, Pat.
So I grew up in two areas. I grew up in St. James, just outside of Stony Brook on the North Fork, and also in Southold on the Peconic Bay. So, as soon as school ended, we were out at our summer place. And, my best memories are of the bay and being in Southold. I'd say since I was 4 years old, my life was between two different houses because we just couldn't get enough of, being on the water and being by the beach. And then when I met my husband, He took a job over in Southampton. So we started our life in Southampton and started our family. And he's a physician. So he's the medical director right now at the NYU office in Bridgehampton. And it's worked out great bringing our kids up here and having them go through the school system and then starting their own lives. So our central home now is in Southampton.
I wanted to ask you, I've asked this other realtors who I've done podcasts with, what's the most interesting story in a sale that you've been involved with that you want to tell me about? Because that might be of interest to some of the viewers of this podcast.
Sure. I have one that comes to mind, Brian, if you don't mind me kind of chiming in and sharing my
Sure.
experience.
Sure.
So, years ago and even today, Zillow is like a place where people go and look for agents and houses. And this goes way back to when I first started. I get a call from a young man who was looking for a house around under $2 million. And nothing ever seemed to be right for him, and I remained patient, and he became loyal. And I don't even know why, other than maybe discussing sales figures and inventory and just, gaining a trust in me. And this is before Brian and I even became partners. And 5 years of not meeting this person, not buying anything, not renting anything from me. But we formed a relationship, and sure enough, I get a listing in the village, in Southampton Village on Halsey Street, and it was perfect for him. And there's a great story behind the house as well, which, we don't have the time to get into, but it turns out he puts an offer in. But the seller says, nope, it's not high enough, and I want to be patient, and I want to make sure that, I get what I need to get out of this. And long story even shorter, a year goes by. And deals fall apart, and who gets the house? This man who I never met. So fast forward, 15 years later, three houses later, and having met his wife and now baby, and this story is just, it's a charming, rewarding story to have built a relationship from somebody who I gave 5 years to and was so patient, and he was patient with me. And the loyalty is just, it's really unimaginable sometimes. So, and rewarding. And now we have, Brian and I both have like great relationship with him and his wife and the baby, and it's great. And that to me is, it wasn't a, $20 million sale, but it was just building this amazing relationship. And I appreciated that, So that to me is like a special story.
Yeah, being in the business so long, of course, you develop these relationships with these people and they become friends and you watch their families grow. They have kids. I've been doing this for about 33 years in Southampton. So over those years, you just develop these relationships and it's a really cool part of the business. Just, yeah, it's a good experience, but
Talk a bit about pricing. I remember back when you could buy a property for its rental value times 10, the way that math figured out you could make out okay. And that's long gone. You have anything to comment about that? And what is I guess, the largest sale the two of you have done together without, I guess you couldn't mention names, but you could tell me a little bit about what happened, what the backstory was.
I have a good example. We represented a builder that I'd known for a number of years, and they were trying to get into the market here in the Hamptons. And I worked with them for quite a long time, and we wound up finding two parcels for them that were side by side. And they kept asking me about the market. What do I think? What do you think is going to happen? And this was a number of years ago. So we were at that point where the market had really taken off yet. And through a series of delays and whatnot, it took a while for them to develop the property. But in the meantime, the market kept growing and accelerating and whatnot. So they wound up developing the parcels. The first house we sold was sold right away. It was being framed. And we wound up in the beginning when they first purchased the properties, we were estimating that maybe they could get maybe $4 million, $5 million for a new house build there, what we were planning to do. And even at that point in time, it was a big number for the area. By the time a few years had passed, we started developing the property. We wound up selling the first house for a little over $8 million. And it was a pre-construction price. The house was framed. So that was a big number at that point. We were setting records in that area. And they took their focus off the second house to finish the first house. Meanwhile, people moved in, closed on that property. I think we closed at 8.82 and change. The house next to it, we continued the development, and they kept asking me, the father kept asking me, you know, what do you think about pricing? What do you think about pricing? And the number just kept rising. We were talking about $7, $8 million at that point, $9 million. By the time the house was finished, we decided to put it on the market for just under $12 million. And we wound up getting 11 and change. And it just, every year, the appreciation on the property, and we set a record for that location.
What location? What was this?
We were on Seven Ponds Town Road in Watermill. Oh. And that whole community, the surrounding areas just started to take off again. And they were getting $9 million, $10 million. And it just continued to grow there.
What would the property sell for today, I think, if it was on the market?
Well, it's interesting because there's a parcel that's similar to it that's on the market now, just on the south side of this. And the vacant property is on for just under $4 million. We paid $1.6 for the properties that
we just the land alone.
The land, yeah, for the land.
What's happened over the years, just to chime in a little bit, is that, you know, these north-south roads just outside the village fringe area have gained tremendous attention. You know, and if you look back 5 to 10 years ago, there was land, you know, and people were, you know, buyers, you know, were looking and contractors were building and they wanted bigger parcels and they wanted tennis courts and they wanted larger houses. And maybe they weren't finding that in the village at their price point. So, you know, you drive up and down these roads now and it's hard to find land. So I think we just caught it right also with our, you know, developers and now they're developing, you know, south of the highway and we found another piece of land and, you know, we expect the prices there to be strong as well. So it's, you know, it's really been amazing to be out here and see the changes, as I'm sure you can agree, you know, with the building.
Yeah, back in the day, you know, those big numbers were all south of the highway and builders had a kind of a base formula of a third, and a third. You bought the property for X amount, you know, the one third on that, the building was the second third, and then the value was the other third. And those numbers don't make any sense. Can't do that anymore. And the push became from south of the highway because there was no land, there was no property there available. The push started coming north of the highway and it just kind of took off.
Which community has changed in terms of pricing the most in the last 20 years, I think, or has it all been about the same?
It's been a pretty level acceleration across all areas. I remember, you know, Pheasant Close, for example, in Southampton Village, I remember we couldn't give those lots away for $100,000. We couldn't sell them. Nobody wanted them. And now you have properties that are selling in there for 11, 12 and up $1 million. If I had only bought 10 of those lots back in the day.
Personally, I took the position because I've been here a long time, like 80, 70 years. I wanted to get on in what I thought would be a ride, which it was, but I wanted to get a house for my family. And then that was it. I would just make sure I owned. I bought a house south of the highway for $14,000. Now, it was a barracks building, fair inch of that. But that property, they took the longest time. The barracks was there, and they just made it bigger and put a swimming pool and this and that. And it's selling well over $1 million now.
Sure.
I think it changed a lot of who can afford here, and therefore the way the community has changed and become more like what it has become, which is world-class resort. What are your thoughts about the problems involved with having housing for the help Oh, that's been proposed. Not there was one recent proposal to have like 50 acres near where I live, actually, 3 Mile Harbor Road, which you would then have all these would be wasn't going to be government, that these people who need places for their help to live would be able to live there, and there were going to be like 100 of them. How do you think we can solve that, if at all?
It's been a constant struggle. We have people reaching out all the time looking for rentals and houses, and sometimes we're coming up empty-handed. It's how can they solve this? I think there needs to be some sort of intervention by government because there's not enough of year-round rentals, and the year-round rental rates are so high that the people coming here to do jobs just can't afford it. So, I don't really know, what the answer is. Living in basements is not the answer, which, people tend to do because they're out of options. So, I don't know, Brian, your thoughts on that? I'm not sure. It's been a struggle for us. We do have a lot of people reach out, and sometimes we're able to find them little houses, but that seems to be it.
Well, I think the affordable housing conversation is very challenging, and it coincides with the traffic situation and conversations. And, not to jump too far off the topic, but the traffic on County Road 39, it's been a challenge. And I don't really know if there's any true answer on how to solve that. And a big part is what's creating that we don't have this housing. So that, these people are traveling from points west to come here to work in the Hamptons. So it's kind of a, cat chasing its tail topic that I don't really know what the answer will be for that.
Last question. You've been partnering together for how many years?
I think we're going on 10 this year.
How did you first get together and decide you wanted to be partners?
I was one of the first agents to get settled in the Southampton office when Andrew and Colleen Saunders opened up the Southampton Main Street office. And I became busy and I just needed some help. I had an assistant who I had hired and it just wasn't a good match. So Brian joined at the firm, and he came from Corcoran. And feel free to chime in, Brian. But he sat next to me. I didn't know him, and he just offered one day. He's like, "Listen, if you need some help, I'm here to help you." And he helped me on a new listing I had on Herrick Road, and it kind of just fell together. We had a meeting, and we ended up just really becoming partners almost immediately, right? And
Yeah.
it really worked, and we started to get busier and we started selling things. And again, it's so hard to find partners that you can trust and believe in. And I had two young children, and my family's my priority. So it was hard, for me juggling the time frame, and Brian would just step in and help out. And it's nice now, years forward, that he's able to go see his grandchildren. I'm able to travel with my husband and see my adult kids who are in two different states. And so we agree. We always joke. We say we agree 99.999% of the time. So it's been great.
The other thing too is I think we have the same common ground with regards to our work ethic. We're constantly on 24/7. We're in touch with each other multiple times during the day. We're bouncing ideas and different clients off of each other. So in that respect, our work ethic is very similar, and our family ethic is also very similar as well. We're very family oriented and it's very important to us. So those basic dynamics really come together as well. And Patty's become a dear friend, her family's dear friends of ours. And it's more than just work at this point. And it's really wonderful.
Yeah, we're very blessed to have, like we said, sometimes it just doesn't work for people. So, and it was all about that seat. That's what it was. So,
We were put next to each other for some reason, and here we are today.
yeah.
I want to thank you for taking the time to be on this, and I hope it was helpful, and I hope the viewers view this and enjoy it.
Thank
Thank
you. We really
you.
appreciate
Pleasure.
you having us, and we'd be more than happy to do it again sometime.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
All righty.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.